This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
We are back and we are all on the same continent and the same island. Is this recording? Is it on?
Are we going? Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
And what a wonderful it is to see your faces in 3D.
Three dimensions again.
3D. Nobody's beaming. So to celebrate, we have party poppers.
We are doing poppers
party
today
poppers
on the podcast.
In the club.
One, two, three. Oh, hey! It's the Young Hot Reunion.
I used to love getting the smoke out of it when I was a kid then.
And so what if you smell this? Now, why is this such a big thing in gay culture, Shane?
This is to lower my inhibitions.
They're attractive.
They're very attractive.
Hot and loud.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my, is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Ah, that's lovely.
What are you drinking there, Tony?
I'm drinking a lovely can of light and fresh and crisp re-raw lager.
I like to enjoy it in the outdoors and maybe a bit of an adventurous weekend. I wonder if there's a way I can combine these things together.
Shame.
Never possible.
Let me tell you, there is an incredible competition re-raw running where they are giving people the opportunity to have an incredible adventurous weekend at the Big Style Wild Atlantic Lodge in Mayo. Killadoon, Mayo. Basically, what you do is you go to participating stores where you can buy re-raw, you scan the code.
Scan a barcode.
And scan a barcode and you could win. And let me tell you, Big Style is the best place ever.
Really?
Okay. The Sleaze have played there many times and it is the most fun weekend. You get incredible food. You get to go surfing. You can do whatever. There's an incredible spa with the best views from a sauna in the whole of Ireland. So Re-Raw are doing this amazing competition.
That is my distinct honor to bring that news to our listeners. And I want to thank Re-Raw for creating that competition with Big Style.
Thank you, Re-Raw.
And thank Re-Raw for their continued patronage and sponsorship of the Young Hot Guys.
We love you.
Love you.
I wasn't allowed. I've never lit a black cat before.
No,
a banger.
Yeah.
And most Halloweens were not on weekends, so I wouldn't be in my dad's. My dad wasn't around to light fireworks, so I didn't really have a lot of fireworks.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
God, what a terrible childhood.
Yeah, that was tough.
It was pretty. Look,
if we could just put some sad piano music.
Really,
I don't know if there's a way of making audio black and white, but
were your dad's firework parents?
No.
Germany is insane for the fireworks. So we would go to Germany at New Year's. Anyone who's been to Germany in New Year's knows it's honestly like a war zone. It's crazy. That kind of thing.
Get your uncle in the U-boat to come around again.
Yeah. To look at the Statue of Liberty. Yeah. No, but they go off like crazy.
Go off, sis?
Like they go like that. And,
wow.
And everyone's doing it like, 20 feet from you. There's another person doing the and it was crazy. So yeah, we do it in Germany. Old habits die hard.
You know what annoys me with the fireworks then at the Halloween is that everybody has to talk so much about how it's upsetting their dog. And I'm like, yeah, but it's just, there's nothing you can do about that.
I think we had fireworks before we had domesticated pets. So, I mean, can we not just, hierarchies there?
I don't think that's true.
Nothing is going to happen.
China.
Yeah, but China. There was dogs before fireworks.
There was not a dog in a garden and, a Sheila, getting on the blower to Listen, Joe Duffy complaining about it.
There were black cats before black cats.
There you go.
I think they should. We were talking about Dragon's Den before now. Why isn't there like a little earmuff thing for dogs for Halloween specifically? And you can make it a mask and maybe make it airtight.
I put a thing around my dog's head on Halloween because he was getting so upset and he hated it and it freaked him out far more than putting a massive kind of sock thing on your dog's heads and covering their ears freaks them out a lot more than fireworks.
Oh, that's a shame.
Really scared the crap out of them.
Mm.
Because I guess ears, they're a sense. So you're kind of blinding them. It's essentially going up to your dog and there's fireworks going off, loud bangs everywhere. And then you basically blindfold them.
Yeah.
And you're like, this will calm you down.
But to clarify, I feel sorry for the dogs. I do.
I do, sure.
I do feel sorry for the dogs. Mm. But I just think giving out about it's not going to help. It's not going to solve anything.
There'll be no change from that. Any type of protest, really. Just giving out about things. Like, what's the point?
Okay, do not put words in my mouth.
I feel like people have kind of called the whole fireworks thing. I mean, we had a wedding on a farm and I was like, we should bring some fireworks. And Terry was like, the animals. And I'm like, fuck the animals. Do you know what I mean? It's my special day at the end of it. Do you know what I mean? So what if they give sour milk? or whatever. So if the dogs are leaking sour milk all over the place, I want to have a little special day, you know. I'm going to get married once.
We're in the same room together. I can't get over it. I'm sorry. I know, and we've been together.
I've been with Killian. Killian's been the center of the universe.
I have.
You have.
Yes.
Well, I'm only friends with you through him.
Yeah, that's true. It was so annoying doing those beaming ones. Oh my God. I found that so annoying.
Beaming in through Australia. That was, and we're beaming in to Ireland at the minute now.
I'll never go anywhere again. Yeah. Will you not?
I just.
It's a fucking faff, is it?
It's a bloody palaver, Tony.
Yeah.
It takes so long to go. I mean, it's not terrible. Like, it takes one day to go to Australia. It used to take 6 months.
Where you're sold out and revered.
Where you're, you know, you're adored and, you know, people, you know, everyone, lots of people in Australia. Shout out to the people of Australia who listen to this podcast. And don't mind the ones from Tipperary who now live there. But the actual Australians listen to this podcast.
Oh, like
actual people who are Australian. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Not naturalized Irish Australians. Actual Australians.
Sexy Australians. Wow.
Well,
they're all right.
They're okay.
Yeah.
I think they're better looking. I think it's agreed upon that they're better looking.
Are they?
I don't know. They just say, well, they're tanner, they're fitter, healthier.
Yeah.
More fitter, happier, more productive.
More vitamin D.
Okay. You wouldn't have got that, Shane, but I know just what he's talking about. I don't know. I know what you are talking about.
Anyway, what did you bring us?
Nothing.
Fuck off. Not even a rock.
No, I didn't get you to
fuck off. Go back to.
Do you know? Because I had to pack a big bag, and it, like, I just was like, I'm not buying it. I didn't buy it for Raymond either. Don't buy presents. I don't do that.
Wow.
Why? Well, what do you want? A piece of tat from Australia?
Fucking boomerang that never goes anywhere.
Yeah. I didn't even see a boomerang once.
Did you?
I didn't see a bug once. Son, no snakes. I saw a spider briefly.
Are you sure you weren't just in Cork?
Do you know what? I could have been anywhere. Could have been anywhere. I didn't trust them. I don't trust them. But the man on the plane, the guy on the way home was a 15-hour flight. And every time I fell asleep for a second, it was like he was doing it on purpose. This man, every time he moved, he needed to elbow me every time. I just think, like, people are sociopaths. Like, you're in the public space. Mm. I know we're sharing space together and there's no way for this to be perfect on the plane. Mm. But do you have to elbow me every time? Every time. I don't trust a man on a plane with no luggage, no hand luggage.
Oh, yeah.
What's he doing?
What's he doing? That's always been my dream, is to board a flight. Maybe at max a jacket and my passport in it. I would love just to walk onto a plane. What did you?
Yeah, I got locked out of the house that I was staying in.
So you just fucked off to Paris?
And I had to. No, I was in London, and I went back to the house that I was staying in, and the door was locked, and I couldn't get in. And all I had was my passport card in my pocket and my wits. And so I just hopped on the bus and went to, and I had a t-shirt. It was actually quite cold.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I had nothing. And the guys were all so confused. I think I've said this on the podcast before, but yeah, it was the coolest thing I've ever done.
And the passport card, great way to go through the airport at a slower pace. It's a great thing to do. If you want to spend more time queuing in the airport, get yourself a passport card. That's a fucking Swiss. What's the point of that?
What did they do?
You can't go, it takes longer because you have a passport card.
What do you mean it takes longer?
Me and Raymond went to Spain, and Raymond was like on the other side of the thing because he can put his passport in that little reading machine. He had the book, and he was on the other side standing there waiting for me to come through with a queue full of gobshites.
Well, I tell you what, the queue of the gobshites, they are also the queue of the people who are €35 richer because they didn't spend that extra money on the booklet.
That's true.
Yeah, so the queue...
No, you have to get both.
You don't have to get both.
You can't buy just a card, can you?
I had just a card for years.
Is the idea that you keep the passport safe somewhere, you know, like the drawer, and you bring the passport card out? So that you can kind of use that.
I'm not revealing to you whether I have a passport or not. Okay, I know what you're trying to do.
Did you have one of those USIT student cards back in the day?
Yeah, I think so. You get like student discounts? Yeah. I think so.
I used to use that. That was my first fake ID. You could go into the secondary school, fill out the USIT form, put in your date of birth or whatever. They stamp it. You fill it in pencil. You change the date. Make yourself 18.
Oh my God.
Put a photo in. And then you can get a USIT card. A friend of mine actually used to do them. He used to put... all of his details in it, but then he would just put in the photo, and he used to use photos. He had a photo like a raw chicken, and he would just like use that sometimes to get into places he didn't want to go into, and he would hold it up, and your mom was like, "Will you take the fucking piss? What the fuck is this?" He had a Robert De Niro one as well. He would use being like, "Hey, well, hang on, do you have any ID? Here you are," you know,
just
to fucking stick it to them for a change, and not get in anywhere. Of course,
I'm running no game, Tony.
Yeah, who's that? Chicken?
That's kind of he's a con man.
Yeah.
I'm running an old game, Tony.
What was your fake
ID? I like con man.
You had an older brother,
days.
So you probably could use his.
Yeah, very easy for me. I had a brother who was a year older than me, just use his. He looks the same as me. There was one time I knew where my brother kept his ID, and so I would just take it when I needed to get drink.
Nice.
And I could only do this from the age of like 17 on, because he's like just a year older than me. But I remember one time going down to the shop and using Niels's ID and bought like 6 cans of Dutch Gold or whatever it was.
8 steins.
And then 8 stein glasses.
8 steins, please.
And then the guy was like, you don't need to wear your lederhosen. And like,
we get it.
But I went and gave him the ID, and the guy was like, he was a nice guy. I knew him. It was my local shop. And he's like, you sure this is you? And I was like, yeah, it's me. And I know all the information. So I'm like, and I know I look like him. So I'm pretty confident. He's like, are you sure you didn't just come in here, buy a drink like 30 minutes ago? And I was like, no, I didn't. No. And he's like, you wanted more? And I was like, yeah, I did. Jane, you're like, okay. Like really confused, but like kind of knew what was going on. Was like, I'm just going to give this to this guy. And then I went up to the shop and I was like, Niels, did you just buy a drink? And he was like, yeah, just got back. He saw this guy walk into the shop, buy whatever, 6 Tuborg, then walk out of the shop, then immediately saw this guy in different clothes walk into the shop.
And different face.
And different face, kind of, yeah. So
Fiona, I must talk to you about your son, Niels. I think he has a drinking problem.
And my last, when we finished school, they didn't take my brother's ID at Tramco Rat Mines.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to the Tramco days. They wouldn't take that. He just didn't believe me. And they also made fun of my shirt.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I know,
sake.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then I was outside trying to think of what to do. And I was like, strolling. It was like a very...
Funky? Was it funky?
You know what a kind of boring corporate gay man might wear? A floral shirt? Like they wear them now?
Yeah.
But this was 20 years ago or whatever.
What did you
know that type of shirt? And they'd have like very visible brown belt. You know you know that kind of look?
Yes.
So it was kind
Paul
of one
Smith
of the...
kind of vibes.
Yeah, Paul Smith-ish. Yeah, like, kind of like that. And then I was outside, and this was around the time that Arctic Monkeys was dominating the charts.
Oh, sure. Yes.
As it were. And then I was talking to my friend Luke, and who, by the way, I left an Easter egg for Luke recently in this podcast, and he did not get back to me about it. And so if you're listening, like, I'm annoyed at you.
You get spoiled.
Luke, enemy of the pod.
Yeah, enemy of the pod. Luke. Anyway, enemies. So then I was talking to Luke, and then I said to him, I was like, what was the line from Arctic Monkeys? I was like, swap 2 jumpers and make another move. Still in your mind, you got something to prove, right? And then he was like, oh, let's do that. Let's swap 2 jumpers. I put on his jumper over my shirt. And then I was like charging towards the door. I wasn't going to get in the queue. I was going to just go right back in as if I was already in.
Yeah.
And then it was very exciting because some kind of fight happened at the exact same moment.
Oh my God.
And I could see, it was like from a film. On the way in, I was like, oh my God, I got past the threshold. And there was a mirror in front there, some kind of mirror thing. And I could see the bouncer man coming towards me. And he actually outstretched his hand. I could see this. And I just went, maintain level pace. This is all normal. And then just scurried up a staircase because Tramco famously had staircase. And I was in and everybody was so delighted then. It was so great.
Chase.
It was so exciting. It was way better than just getting in. It was way more exciting.
That's great. But the bouncer was going for you.
He was. He wanted
fucking Luke tipped him off.
Yeah, yeah.
Classic.
No, Luke gave me his jumper to be fair to Luke.
Yeah, that's just... because
that was a long time ago. What's he done for me lately? He didn't even listen to the Easter egg I put in for him in his podcast.
Can we borrow him, actually?
Yeah, we
can.
Yeah.
Get the Luke, I'll get
if you're listening to this device, turn it off. I'll speak to his partner.
I remember one time trying to get into Barcode in Fairview, and I was like, all right, well...
That's
you know,
the one that's in the gym now, right?
Yeah, in Westwood,
Terrible time.
Terrible time. Yeah. You know, but there was a lot of different ways of scheming in there. Like, they'd let you... The security was kind of like at the gate to go in. So if you're going to the gym, you could go in. So a lot of lads would just go in, and when the bouncers weren't looking, they'd go to the gym, then they'd, you know, scoot him beside. My friend of mine, she hid in someone's boot to get into the car park to get it. There was all these different sorts. So because it was hard and the bouncers were kind of finicky with you, if they were kind of at capacity later on in the day, they might not let you in, even if you had your ID and you were of age. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go first. I'm going to be the first one in. I'm just going to go. And I was, you know, I was over 18. So I remember going, dressing up, first time at Barcode, wore like, you know, a t-shirt with a tie, a train conductor hat, and a trench coat, you know? And I was there like just skipping down
photos
the road.
Photos of your grandchildren.
Yeah, it was the style. Never. For anyone, ever. And I'm walking down and there's like, it's daylight, you know, early, maybe like 6 p.m. or whatever.
Oh
walk
my
in,
God.
Go down to the bouncer and he goes, no, sorry, mate. And I was like, what?
Oh my God.
And he goes, no. I'm like, but here's my ID. He goes, no. No.
Asshole.
And I was like, but why? Like, and he's like, nah, just not tonight. And I'm like, I'm stone cold sober. There's one in there, you know? But imagine having that level of power. Oh my God. I'd get off on it.
Well, we do. We have it with this podcast now.
We should. We should do the same thing.
Luke, first of all.
Luke is barred.
Barred. Luke's barred.
Yeah, Luke's barred. We're
not, not tonight. Not this episode. Sorry, buddy. Maybe go get a cup of coffee and then turn it on in an hour.
Check out the bonus.
Great.
Yeah, check out the bonus in an hour or something like that. Get yourself a cup of coffee and you can come back and maybe you'll be allowed in.
Maybe Netanyahu?
He's barred.
He's barred as well?
Yeah, absolutely yeah. barred.
So Luke is on the same list as Netanyahu?
Yeah. Luke is very like
in terms of, oppressors.
He's not a Zionist to my knowledge, but still don't like the guy.
Yeah.
I heard skinny ties are making, ties in general are making a comeback. I heard that. Yeah, my friend Reese told me that. I heard they're coming back.
I need to see it. Who could I, Harry Styles? No. I'm trying to picture someone who I...
Phil Lynott had one when he played Sydney live and it's the coolest looking thing ever.
Mm.
I wore it for Sydney as well. Like, that's just standard.
When you're playing live in Sydney, you have to wear the skinny top.
It's kind of like when you're a barrister in the UK, like there's a kind of certain outfit you have to wear when you get on stage.
One of my shows in Sydney, the microphone stopped working and I had to go a cappella.
Oh, wow.
But it stopped working in the first minute and I was like, okay, I have just met these people and now I'm trying to fill time while the man comes up. But we had a laugh there with the people in Sydney. We had a laugh about it. I was doing, I did improv that I was doing a spoken word poet then.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, stuff like that. And I did like actions to do with my words and stuff like that. But it was good. I felt very, I was like, this is rock and roll. Because you know, sometimes you do a gig and they say, the spare mic there. And you're like, okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
Thank you. Calm down.
Yeah.
Like,
there's also loads of fucking wires everywhere. Yeah. Thanks for pointing shit out.
Oh, there's lights on you. Yeah, I know.
And not a very good.
But actually, the spare mic was there. If the spare mic had been there, you take it for granted when it is there. And then, of course, it wasn't there. And then also, a funny thing happened. Actually, I can't tell
you.
How many
mentions does he get? How many more mentions of Australia does he get?
I'm getting 9 so far. So one more. And then that's 2 hands.
And then we're going to get too jealous and we'll just.
Well, how many fucking photo wildlife park shit do you fucking.
How many times are you going to wear that photo wildlife jumper?
Bet it stinks.
It's my uniform.
Bet it stinks worse than lion piss.
As someone who works there.
Sounds like shoes, as it should be.
As someone who works in photo, I have to wear the uniform. How else are people going to know I'm a ranger?
Is it cheaper? You sounded like, I've never heard you sound more like a 7-year-old. I'm a member of
the photo wildlife ranger team.
I'm a ranger, so.
No, ranger.
Yes. It's kind of like a power ranger, but it's in Cork.
People think your cheetahs are really fast, but they're only chasing on a wire hook. So they can't get up to the speed they would in the savannah.
The main feed people don't know about this, but I... been wearing a photo wildlife
every single day. Yeah. I've seen you every single day. Every and if it's not day. That, it's the fleece.
Because I worked there for a day.
Did you love animals growing up as a kid?
Yeah.
Enough to not like fireworks beside them, but
I work there. It's my job. I'm a ranger in the photo wildlife. I sneak in because they won't let me in anymore because they somehow don't recognize my key card stopped working and stuff like that. But I don't think they're feeding the bison correctly, so I've been sneaking in and giving them Maltesers and things like that.
Yes.
And, the cheetahs.
Everyone enjoys.
Why are they making the monkeys run all the way around to get the food? So I've just been giving them Twixes and Maltesers and things like that that you know animals, like, it's good for them because they eat it all.
They wouldn't eat it if they know only animals can eat. Do you know you see those signs that are like, please don't feed the animals any sweets? And it's like, it can make them very sick. Like, I don't think it makes them any more sick than us. I think they're just kind of like, you also shouldn't be eating this shit, you fucking pig. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't feed them like chocolate and everything because it could, you know, it could be very bad for them. They hold these animals up to a higher standard than we hold ourselves.
I assume that is when it says please don't feed the animal, it's please don't feed the animal.
Sorry, misunderstood where you were going there.
That'll be a wanger position on it.
Well, as a wanger, I guess I was walking through the photo I was and they would let me do quite a lot of things.
he's a terrific wanger.
And they don't let them eat that popcorn.
They let me pop the popcorn and they give me sometimes eat a bit out of the bison's mouth. Yeah, they were doing a lot of things. It's okay because my mom has to pick me up later on.
She's coming from Dublin, so she won't be up for a while.
The wingtail limo. They have wingtail limo babies. They're so cute, but they're also very violent.
Oh, they're very violent.
Baby voice is
you were doing also some kind of Euro baby voice there as well.
Eurocycles and Euro baby on the long road.
Eurocycles, Euro baby.
Euro baby has nothing to do with bikes. If you didn't know about Eurocycle, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Why are the prams? I always remember getting a bike as a kid.
You all right?
Just the way
you learn that from a fucking orangutan?
We're reaching over the glass there.
We're just laughing at Killian reach for as if like an orangutan picking up a lovely beach nut or something.
We spend a lot of time with the wee thing. You actually realise they kind of...
They are more like humans than we actually are. No, they are. They are more like humans than we are. Sorry, please. Eurocycles and Eurobaby on the long mile road.
We went to a place called Tony Keeley to buy our bikes as a kid. And I always used to be like... It's kind of unexplained why the prams are also there. Is it just things with wheels? I don't really understand.
Yeah.
Well, it's just things with wheels.
Child transport.
Exclusively. Well, there's adult bikes in the place in Tony Keeley's in Walkinstown, I think it was.
I imagine they have the facilities to store, you know, in stock bikes and prams, and they probably occupy the same shelf space, and maybe that's some sort of like boring operational kind of thing that they can, you know what I mean? Well, the shelves
prams
wouldn't look...
like would have air tires, or are they mostly foam?
No, neither. So are they made
stone
of paper
tires.
Or are they made of rock? No, neither. Do you know what's insane? Like there's prams that have, because you go in there and they're just selling to the parents, you know. You go in
well,
there.
I wouldn't think children would buy their own prams.
No. But like they're trying to appeal, like anything else for a child is like, oh, a child might enjoy this kind of orangutan on a t-shirt, or they might enjoy a princess pink cup that they would a straw that would have sparkles
on
it.
Or
a cheetah on a jumper. For a wing job. But when you go in for the prams, it's stuff like, you know, the Lexus Pro, you know, the Range Rover. The Range Rover Elite Pro.
Mom, I'm saying that we maybe get a Lexus.
I think we get the Lexus Busso, see. Because this is a Lexus car, and they would look at the piece of any other brand.
But are they, with that branding, are they trying to get the dads?
They're trying to get
something,
the dads.
The Magnum.
Really get into it. Yeah, the Magnum.
I just think for me, I would never have a pram for my kids. Why would I push them away? You know, I've been baby wearing since birth, and I just would never do it any other way. Why would I? Why would I possibly push? What's that telling the baby psychically?
Are you a frequent user of technology? Do you want to know more about how this stuff works? And do you sometimes think tech developments are pointless? Well, you're not wrong. Yep, and while some of it is scary and some of it's impressive, lots of tech is just tech for tech's sake.
Hey, that's the name of our podcast.
That's right. For Tech's Sake is a podcast featuring me, Elaine Burke.
And me, Jenny Jarmody.
And as tech journalists, we've been writing about tech for a long time.
And now we're talking about the tech you use or hear about on the news.
And helping you understand what's going on.
We're not going to tell you that tech is going to fix your life.
And we're not going to tell you it will kill us all either.
We'll just help you peek under the hood and see for yourself the good parts, the bad parts, and everything in between.
And each episode will feature an expert to help us learn more.
So if you want to know what's the crack with AI,
or how your data can be used and abused,
or how to have a healthier relationship with technology,
then tune in every fortnight for new episodes from us.
For Tech's Sake is a co-production from Silicon Republic and the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm working on my posture. I saw a picture of myself the other day and I was like, oh my God. Now, I've been to physio a number of times for many issues, and the guy did say, well, you should work on your posture. But I sent a picture to Raymond from the nude beach.
Oh, wow.
And I was looking at myself and I was like, who is this hunchback of Notre
Dame girl?
It should be Notre Dame girl, but it wasn't. It was like, here I am in the beach. Look at me. Look at my arse.
Raymond, look at me.
The bell end. The bell end.
No, it was a rear. I didn't show him my bell end.
Well, as some motivation, if you do want to do that, you have a serious back. I've always been a huge fan of your back.
Yeah, but I'm so hunchy.
Yeah. But
it's because you're so strong.
No, come on.
You've got the best posture, I think.
I don't think I do. I think I've got bad posture.
No.
Because I've been going, I got corrective insoles in my feet.
In your feet?
Your feet.
I stitched them into the bottom of your toe. It's quite leathery.
Oof.
Foot, so. And that's been kind of giving me an extra couple of inches on my height.
I have noticed you being...
And your dick's huge as well. That's good.
It makes my cock droop. I think I should remove the stitching into my feet.
Okay.
My cock has become plain. I have noticed you being a bit taller.
Yeah, people have been saying it. And now,
that's like, bullshit.
Emer, my friend, was saying that she thinks that I was doing it to get the extra few inches, which is couldn't be further from the truth. I'm a man who, if I could press a button that makes me a couple of inches shorter, I would
definitely do
it.
Man, you're a liar.
Absolutely, 100%.
Choosy beggar.
I would. I'd go under. You know, they always say people who are 5'9 want to be 6 foot. 5'9 would be 5'8, 5'9 or whatever. They'd be the.
What's a hindrance to your height?
Bumping into things all the time, whacking my head off. Do you know what the worst things ever
you
are?
You might have a brain tumor.
Yeah. Well,
maybe you're just a clumsy oaf.
No, they, do you know what's the worst?
A piggish brute.
You're not that tall. For a while. Like, I mean, I know we're flattering you here.
I know I'm not that tall, but I'm the short arse of the family, actually.
Mm. Yeah, I met your brother in Australia and he was very tall.
Yeah, they're all. I'm the short one. They're
he big, also, Killian's big. Brother also was wearing a green cable knit iron sweater.
For fuck's sake.
In the Australian sun.
Oh, it gets cool this time of year.
Gets cool this time of year, yeah.
Yes. Do you know what was nice? It was nice to come home to the long evenings. I have to tell you, I know I said this on the other podcast the other day, but Jesus, it was so nice. Mm. Actually, the first day coming home was pretty terrible. I wanted to be full dead. I was like sitting there and I was like, now, you know, I came home, my parents, they were talking about, I said this in the car, you know, famously, they don't listen to this podcast.
Great.
And I said in the car, I was like, oh, well, Sydney was a bit harder now. It wasn't as social as Melbourne. My dad goes, yeah, we heard you say that in the podcast now. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
And I came home for them and the flight, 24 hours, very difficult or whatever. And then it was... My mother talked in one fluid sentence from the airport to my door. So,
did she breathe? Take a breath in?
I'm not sure she did. I think she had a big deep breath from the get-go and then went all the way through. She had big news. They bought a new car, you see. So they had
were you in the car?
Big news.
Did you even get to say hi to them? They were probably just all about the new car.
Yeah, but then we went...
At departures?
We went... No, they paid for the parking.
Paid €3.
Yeah, and they were having a good look at people. And they told me about those people, they're having a look at people because like there's a couple there, they're actually gorgeous. She was pregnant, about 6 months pregnant. And she was absolutely gorgeous. And the two of them, and that must have been her mother. I think that was her mother. Yeah. And they had a whole thing, told me all about those people. I was like, okay, great. And then, what was the thing? When we met them the other day.
You were sick as well, and you were just hovering.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Oof.
Unwell.
Oof. Butt or Tom?
Do you know the expression diarrhea? Well, I did that on a plane for 26 hours. So,
whoa, on the way back?
Yeah, pretty dire. Do you know what I heard? I was in Qatar. A woman went into the farm. I was in the pharmacy and I kind of wanted him to give me some kind of magic. And I just got things, normal stuff. And then he was like, can I take both of these together? He's like, yeah, that's fine. I was like, anything else? He's like, no, you got the right stuff. And I was like, oh, give me some kind of magic.
Yeah.
You know, plane. And this girl went up. She was like, she actually skipped someone in the queue because she was a bit, she was unhinged a little bit. She went, excuse me, I've flown in here from Bali and I'm going to, on the way now to make my destination is Copenhagen. And I am very scared of flying and I had a panic attack on the last flight and they told me to come to this pharmacy and ask you for something. Right? And I was like, wow, this girl's really just like, I need this shit. Like, I don't care. There's me going, can I have a packet of Imodium? Sorry, can I have a lady's Imodium? And then she was like, and then she's like, can I get something? And your man just goes, yes, no problem. And it was like you ask for a scratch card. It's so readily available behind the till. He just was like, yeah, and just gave her something there, done and done.
Wow.
I was like, what is that? And also, whatever that is, I'm doing that the next time I go to the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, I have a panic attack. I'm just going to say that and see what
they have to do the Dutch accent or the Danish accent.
I'm not sure what her accent was. I was piecing that together. I just kind of made that up.
Authoritative kind of like, I would do whatever that accent told me to do.
Yeah, you know? It seems like you're an inconvenience if you don't.
Yeah.
Qatar where you can get that kind of accent?
Yeah, see, maybe. That's what I was kind of thinking. Also, I was so tired as well.
It would be too much to fly to Qatar just for that reason, wouldn't it? It would.
Nah. Depends how many can get back and sell.
Yeah.
Well, they're so proud of that airport, but it's so chill.
Which airport?
They're like the gateway to the world. I'm like, this is an awful place. This is a terrible place. And it's very expensive looking, but everyone here is exhausted and miserable. No, they wouldn't have W.H. Smith. They'd have things like expensive things. I was just, you know, they have all these ads. That's what I hate about that part of the world. The focus on wealth, it just drives me nuts. And it's like, if you watch a thing on the plane, you have to wait and watch an ad about a diamond watch that you can buy in an airport. And I'm like, oh my God, this isn't real life.
I always find that such a waste of time. Like car ads. I'm not buying a car. Stop showing me car ads.
Yeah. Who buys a new car?
Who buys a car?
Who buys a new car?
Your parents. Your parents.
They didn't buy a current year car. They bought a previously driven car.
I don't know who buys a new, like, you know, it's like, I understand like seeing like a Coca-Cola being like, oh yeah, but get that in the shop. Wrigley's Extra or whatever, you know, pick that up or whatever. But
don't be advertising as much as they used to.
They
used to have great ads. Remember, they used to have ads, and they would they would always take the chewing gum and bend it into their mouth.
Yeah.
They would catch it on the lip or the teeth, and they would bend it into their mouth. And there was that one about, there was a sexy one about like a couple going on a train. Anyone, anything on that?
Is there anything going on there? Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, listen, I need to tell you something. I, for a very brief period of time on Saturday, became a degenerate gambler.
Oh.
And I lost 500 euro on blackjack.
What?
Mm.
Of your own money?
500 euro?
What?
In about, so this is what happened, right? I've been following this Kiwi guy who's playing blackjack every day.
No. Is blackjack the 50-50? You just say yes. Is it like, is it 21?
Tony, 500 quid.
Yeah. No, I'll explain, right?
That's not.
No, I was up and then I lost 500 quid. Okay, just to, so basically.
House always wins, Tony.
You just said I was up and then I lost 500 quid. You
I
lost
need
500 quid.
Support then. Now?
Okay. Yeah, let's let him have space to speak his truth.
Can I plead my case?
Yes, plead your case. Tony Campbell, I'll plead my case.
No, I want, you know that, have you followed that Kiwi guy in New Zealand? He bets 10 cents for every follower, the new follower that he gets on Instagram. And now he's up to, you know, like 115,000 a day that he bets on one hand.
God.
And then a lot of the time he'll win 250 grand. A lot of the time he might double down. He might lose 250 grand, right? So it's like, that seems like a lot of fun. I played a bit of blackjack when I was in Vegas very briefly because a Native American guy sat beside me and I was like doing that kind of like, yeah, man, we're the same, man, Irish, Native American, all that. Yeah.
Thanks for that money during the famine sound.
That sound,
cheers,
man.
For that.
Choctaw Nation.
Yeah. You know? Have you seen this photo of Dev?
Yeah. Do you hate him? Do you hate that man? My friend, please. I'm trying to focus. Anyway, he just told me that you just hold on. Just don't try and get anything over 16. All right. And then for whatever reason, that worked. And I did very well in Vegas. So anyway, I thought I could apply this. So I was looking at apps and I found one.
Is blackjack the one that...
21.
21. Okay.
21. Yeah.
Pontoon. My granny would have called that a pontoon.
So I thought, all right, I'll do this and maybe it's real money. Maybe there'll be some promotional code where you can get some money. So whatever.
Yes.
It's not how it worked. So I ended up putting a tenner in. Mm-hmm. So from a tenner, okay.
Yeah.
I got 50 quid and I was like, wow, this is incredible. I'm doing really well here. Lost that almost immediately. And then the app gave me a fiver and I'm like, all right, well, I may as well keep playing.
Yeah.
Got that up to 100.
Oh my God.
And then I was like, wow, this is amazing. Then lost all that immediately. And then, and I couldn't tell you how I lost it. And then it gave me another fiver. And then before I knew it, I was on 500 euro.
Oh my God.
And I just kept thinking, right, I'm going to...
Oh, my God.
And I had all these rules, like I'm only going to gamble, like a big gamble. If I can get into the next 100, I'll bet half or whatever. I had all this. Couldn't tell you how. Lost it all. And then I put another tenner in and another tenner and then 25 quid. And then I was like, I have
to... So how much did you spend?
I spent 55 euro.
Okay, that's not that bad.
But I lost, you know, 500.
No, you didn't. You lost 55. That's how it works.
Yeah.
I know you feel the loss of the... Of the 500, but you didn't actually lose that. That was made believe money, fake money. Until you took it out of your bank account,
yeah,
you cashed out. It was fake money.
But I'm very good at like spitefully quitting things I'm not good at. So now this is it. This is me done. Like I'm actually spitefully good at able to, you know, to quit. That I think that's more powerful. My spite is more powerful than my actual
addictive
nature. What's
your spite? Is it that kind of like, well, if you guys had let me win, I might have actually kept playing. So there you go.
It's kind of like
if you had let me win the money, I would have kept playing.
I would have kept playing,
actually.
So you would have made, yeah, it's your loss, actually. So fuck that. It's like when I tried it for basketball and then I couldn't get the hoop once. And I'm like, fuck this, never picking up a basketball ever again for the rest of my life. But it was scary because I was like, I was literally there and I was in my daughter asleep and I was just like waiting for her to fall asleep. And then before I knew it, 2 hours had gone and I had had highs, I'd had high highs, low lows. So that's just be a warning that gambling is very addictive. So just, you know, be cautious out there.
It absolutely is. And
I hate it, to be honest. I hate it. It's gross.
Yeah, I'm sure I did it, obviously.
I do a little bit of,
you do a flutter?
Betting on the, like if there's an...
Do you put an accumulator on?
No, not accumulators.
Bundesliga.
Horse racing on Stephen's Day, that's what I bet on.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. On Stephen's Day, me and Anna usually put on bets. I usually lose every single one, and she usually wins every single one.
You should keep it up.
Yeah, well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just a tradition, and we only ever put on 15 euros, so it's like...
I like a pool when they do that. People do that. I think those are fun.
I do
that
as well.
I like a pool.
If we did that, if we did like an office pool for like the Grand National, us three and Hillary, we'd have like so many horses each.
We'd have
a strong chance of winning.
I think we should do it.
If we put in like, whatever, I don't know, 900 quid each?
I could probably get that back in blackjack tonight, yeah. I could probably do that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You should do that.
Some people are professional. Like, I know this guy's a professional poker player. Isn't that just amazing that he can just go like, I'll make money from that? Like, it's no problem. I'll make a lot of money, 40 grand.
That's those guys lose a lot, though. That's the thing is like, they like, let's say they win in Tony's kind of way. Like, you might win a million.
Tony's way is to lose.
Yes, if they're doing it Tony's way. But like you're doing like, let's say Tony says he lost 500 quid, which he didn't. He lost 55 or whatever.
Well,
but like he spent, that's how much he spent. But like these guys will lose like 200 grand, but they'll win 250. So they've actually like over the course of the year, like they've made 50 grand or whatever. So there's that kind of lifestyle.
I wish I could apply the gambler's kind of narrative to my own life, because you only ever hear about the big wins. You know, you never hear a gambler talking about how much shit that they've eaten from doing shitty bets, but they're always like, oh, I had this amazing thing that came to this accumulator. Had Tony Cruz to score ninth or some shit, you know? And then but like, you don't know that they're actually probably like 16 grand in the red?
Yeah.
Is that the word?
Yeah.
In the red.
In the red. You know, I wish I could do that myself and only talk about my, you know, my amazing victories rather than kind of dwelling in my own head.
I remember there was like a big lotto, and it was in America. It was a $1 billion lotto when we were living there. And
the Powerball?
And it was like some Powerball, but it was a billion. And I remember people going, everyone got a ticket, but everyone was like, you know, because it was like a billion. And you're like, what if, even though the chances were like zero. And there were some people going around going, you know, after tax, it's only 600 million.
It's hardly worth your while buying the ticket, is it?
And then, anyway, I was like, I'm not getting it. There's no fucking way. And
gotta be in a tweet.
I had this whole kind of like, I was like, there's no way I'm going to win, so I'm not going to buy one. And my friend was like, but you might win. And I was like,
Ooh. Oh
yeah, you're right. And I just immediately bought a ticket, and I was like, that's the whole thing right there.
I think lots of people.
There's no way I'm going to win. You could win. Oh yeah.
Lots of people have that experience with a lotto where their friends all just get involved and go, let's all buy the lotto. I remember we did it one time. We were walking through town and my friend Ross, we all went into that shop on Parnell Street and bought a lotto tickets. And Ross came out and he was like, I can't believe like all of our lives are going to change tomorrow. Like, just taking the piss. But I do think everyone goes, hey, I can buy the lotto. My dad used to play the lotto every week and he used to put in our birthdays, right? And then he would do a quick pick. And then sometimes he would just not play. And I was like, that is disgusting. I was like, what if our birthdays came up? And he was like, well, I was never going to win because I didn't play that week. And I was like, yeah, but you would have won. He's like, yeah, but I'm not going to win. I didn't, but I would never win because I didn't play that week. I was like, it's just horrendous.
When someone told me that if you, say you're picking six numbers, if you picked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in that order, it's the exact same likelihood as whatever numbers you have.
Yeah, I don't understand that probability. It was chapter 6 in the maths book and I just,
oh, fuck that.
As you know, I checked out of maths during school. I decided to just not do that, really.
Yes.
And actually,
did you pass maths?
No, I did. I did honors maths for absolutely no reason. And I remember the teacher, my dad went to the parent teacher meeting and he was like, well, he doesn't really seem to do any work in his maths and I think maybe we should go to pass. And my dad's like, he's well able for the higher level. And then my dad was like making a stand on this and I was like, yeah, cheers. You're right. But also, I'm not going to do any of it. And I'm going to go to the chaplain's office and play guitar. That's what I'm going to do.
Wait, is that what you did?
A lot of times towards the end. That's why
I didn't know that was an option.
Chaplain.
Yes. Chaplain. So, yeah. Come into the room. Bring me the boys. Play Stairway to Heaven again. Tinkering along the frets of a Fender. No need for mathematics. Your arithmetic can't help you in here, boys. Just the dusty copper of the strings.
If I could just have the guitar, Chaplin, that would be great. Sorry, you're just kind of grasping it with
your... Young Bobby Cock has been playing the recorder for me for a very long time. Quite the player! Quite the player!
His parents haven't come knocking.
Tell me, boy, do you still intend on becoming a ranger when you leave school?
Chaplin, where are those boys?
I'll never tell. They're my boys. Fly, my pretties.
Sir, I don't think you should be pushing me out the window, sir.
Things I do for laughs.
Sir, I don't have wings, sir.
At the end of the day, I think the podcast and all that stuff, I think the best thing we've done is create this kind of alter ego for chaplains, that they're kind of this weird sort of...
We rebranded chaplains, and I think and I think the impact of our rebranding of chaplains has really been impactful across schools and colleges and other places where you might have chaplains, the Navy.
Yeah. Yes. I think a lot of chaplains with like the name like Snake Tongue have been denied. just might be too on the nose, like they've been denied employment, you know. Worm Weasel, you know, Chaplain Worm Weasel and stuff like that. People kind of come in with kind of sunken eyes and a cloak. Those kind of chaplains.
So that type of particular brand of chaplain.
Unfortunately, that's fallen by the wayside. It's young, hot, frosted tip chaplains now. Heroes, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, chaplains these days, they kind of look like they were in NSYNC, and it's like...
I know, yeah. You don't want a chaplain that's hotter than you.
No.
That's what I found.
No.
I know nothing. I know you've told me this before. What age were the chaplains?
50.
50?
50s.
They were all?
Some of them were priests, and that wasn't as good. And then there was a layman as well, and he was in his 50s. I think he went mad then.
But they let you play guitar. That's class.
Electric, it wasn't in class.
Oh my God.
Ding dong.
Ding dong.
No, but they was it electric?
No, acoustic guitars.
Would have been good if it was electric.
What would you be playing? Stairway to Heaven?
I only really could do
Mary Little Lamb on the
basics.
One string.
I could do C and G and D minor and E minor and A minor. That's all I could
you
do.
You got Stairway to Heaven there.
And when I got to barcodes, I was at barchords. I was like, not doing this anymore.
It's yes. hard to push down.
It's hard on the finger.
Too much stubby little fingies. Yeah. I can't do it with them.
Yeah. My finger got beat by your Cheeto, so I don't play barcodes anymore.
You have a ring on. Killian has a ring today.
What's
and it's
going on?
Everything. Bullshit.
That's a real, like that's for a man, that unfortunately the way gender roles still are, for men, that is such a shift. It's like, wow, Killian's got a ring on now.
Mm.
It's a whole thing.
Well, I mean, a ring don't mean a thing.
Wow, okay.
No, it's a cool ring. I'm really happy to have it.
But who jingled?
Wasn't me. I've been ignoring texts from my...
Did she get parked?
I don't know.
It's actually my partner and parking situation.
She just still roasting you about that ring? Stupid fucking ring.
No, she actually said I looked good with it.
You do look good.
People are really into the ring thing.
They highlight your big fingers.
I was wearing it because I kind of wanted to do a little bit of... Because Tony's the ring guy. Like,
how many you got? Four rings.
Got four rings, so I'm the ringman.
I watched that video, as I often do. I watched Aslan in Vicar Street singing... I can't remember what song it is.
These are the hands.
Yeah, that song, which is amazing. It's a great video. If you ever just feel like, I've got... 10 minutes to spare. Watch that. It's
never.
Amazing.
Doesn't happen to me.
This lad in the middle. He's the halfway line.
That chap in the white t-shirt.
Chap in the white t-shirt. And if you watch him, the whole video, he does it for the rest of the video.
Wow.
But I saw Chrissy, because he does all this hand stuff. He does this really cool hand dance, and he had a lot of rings on. And obviously, I'm never going to look as cool as Chrissy Dignam, but
no.
I was like, one ring. Maybe one ring.
One ring to rule them all.
And to the race of men, another ring was made. What is that? What is that stone?
I don't know.
Black.
It's
so you got fuck all to talk about with it.
It's cracked.
Is it so sterling silver?
No, I don't know what. I don't know what it is. Honestly, I put it on and I now cannot take it off.
Okay.
And so that's the reason it's still on me.
If you need someone to suck your finger to just to help get it off.
Yeah.
I could do that for you.
That's for service that we have to provide for each other in the Young Hawk. It's contractually in the contract.
It is, just, you know.
Try it now. I'll sit here in the middle and watch.
I mean, I don't think I could fit. I might just have to lick the side.
This feels like that TV show, that film, Challengers.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
Not seen it.
You guys haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, my God. Watch it. Very sexy movie.
When would I go see that? At 11 o'clock after fucking Paw Patrol, mighty fucking movie? When would I get a chance to see that shit? After Bluey.
In between episodes of Bluey.
Hmm.
Maybe they could make a Bluey version of it, but I feel like it would be a bit inappropriate because it is a very sexy film.
From what I've heard, it's more like Bluey than Bluey.
Oh, wow.
Bit of a blue movie. That's what I heard.
It is quite blue. It's good. And Zendaya is very good in it.
Is she actually good?
Yeah.
Does she finally be good in a movie?
I think this is...
What's wrong with Zendaya?
She's not great in movies.
I don't think she's great. I've not seen Euphoria, so I don't want
to.
I can't.
She's good in Euphoria, and then I feel like the. I mean, you're not going to say no to Dune, but I think they could have been better. But anyway, in this, I'm like, that's Zendaya. That's her. She's a star. She's incredible.
You said that.
I love
her. Everyone like, shh,
yeah.
In
and
the theater.
I had sunglasses
that's
on.
That's
Zendaya.
She has
arrived.
Get her agent. That's the star.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I can turn her into something.
I was hot and
now,
cold
this
with you
I can work with. This I can work with.
Why don't you put on a big fucking rose on your head and go to the Met Gala? That's where I see you going.
Zendaya, two words. Fair city.
Yeah, you gotta slum it for a while first. Then you might get you into a two-part drama. Yeah, comes out on Virgin Media, so it won't be good.
Maybe we get you on the dancing show. Good morning. We'll move up. We'll move up.
You consider being a wager for a foot of wildlife park. All the celebs are doing it. Killian Sunderman, for example.
We did that. I did that celebrity zookeeper thing.
And celebrity like, ranger.
Be careful. I'm telling you to be careful because you keep talking about this and it's not even on.
We have to edit out.
It's out on Tuesday.
It's out on Tuesday.
I'm going to be in it. I hope. It could be really embarrassing if I get cut.
What are celebs that are in there? Or did you hear there?
Delamere, I think, is also doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'd say...
Bet the animals were cracking up.
I think he's like probably the season one.
You don't want to make a chimp laugh that much.
I said my animals were laughing as well.
I hope Delamere was warned about that. Don't
well, it was just annoying because like Neil was like, I guess no one at Photo Wildlife actually knew who I was. Fair. And I was supposed to be a celebrity. And I was like, this is very embarrassing on my behalf.
That's what all the dads watching will say. He's supposed to be a celebrity.
Who the fuck is this? And then also I like asked the crew, I was like, and who's on next week? And then, well, season finale, we're doing Neil Delamere. And everyone was like, oh God, Neil's. And it was just like, people know who he is.
Oh yeah.
No one knows who I am.
He gigs everywhere. Everyone knows him. Everyone loves him. He's very funny as well.
He's great, very nice man. And, and he's probably going to do both hilarious things and then also nice conversational things. He's going to give the people the space. Whereas I was just, well, I was just being funny the whole time.
Wow.
And cracking up.
Great. So skip next Tuesday and the Tuesday after, Neil Delamere is going to be on. And apparently that's a much better episode.
Now, where is it? What station is it on? Tuesday the 14th on what station?
I think it's Tuesday the 14th on RTE.
Yeah, but hey, no dull.
I don't do two.
Okay.
No, I don't know. It could be two. I don't know. I'm joking.
I'm going to watch that, Killian. Well, I'll probably record it and watch it at another time.
You don't have to record it. You can watch it on the player.
Whichever.
The cool player.
Did they get the footage of you going into a leopard and putting your arm around it saying, never change your spots and then getting mauled? Did they have that? Or did they have to edit that out?
They had to edit it out. They did. When I got there, the first thing I did, because I wanted to get, I'd been talking to Shane, and you know, he said when he gets to a hotel room, he completely strips. And I wanted to be at one with the animals because I wanted them to be comfortable. People say, oh, you want the people, the rangers to be comfortable. I wanted the animals to be comfortable with me. And I thought there was no way I can do that whilst disrespecting them with my clothes.
Yes. So like, what are those things?
What are they? They don't
awful.
Know what they are. So to be at one with them. So I did that and I took off my clothes and... Again, this is why I don't know if it'll be aired or whatever, because there is a case. I honestly can't say too much. But I got in with the cheetahs and fully nude. Mm. And I wanted them to respect me. So I kind of started chasing them. And
wow.
And I don't remember much, but I felt a sharp pain in my back. And I woke up a few days later. And anyway, it should be on Tuesday the 14th.
Great.
RTE.
One of them.
And yeah.
Great. Well, I can't wait to see it.
And stream all episodes now on the RT player.
The RT player.
You do it.
Stream episodes now.
Oh, come on, you can. Come on.
Stream episodes now on the RT player. All episodes available now on the RT player.
Yeah.
So it was a Saturday morning, and I went to the spa area, and I had to leave because I was in the sauna. That was fine. But then I wanted to like check out the cool jets and stuff and in the pool and everything like that. And it just got like, it was everyone on Saturday morning, people bring their kids to the pool.
Yeah.
Mm. And I was just this like, you know, hairy like dude. And everyone was like, you know, dads were doing that thing where they, which seems to be most of being a dad at that age, was where they pick their kids up and throw them up in the air. And in water, you don't even need to catch them.
Mm. No, it's great.
And the kids actually... 10 out of 10, they love it.
They love it, yeah.
They think it's the best thing ever, and it's a hit every time. Mm. And I was in the middle of it, and I was like hanging out by the jets, and I just felt weird. I had to go.
And it was so embarrassing for you when he threw you, because you were like, this is so embarrassing.
Well, you know what? It's like, yeah, I did go up to that guy, and I said, hey, like, my go. And
he said, do it to me. Do it to me. Do it to me.
He said, now me.
Do it again.
Would you perhaps be able to throw me as well?
I'm a ranger in the Photo Wildlife Park.
Swing me. Swing me in the water.
But there's something wrong with my, I'm taking steroids and I'm growing a mustache, actually.
Well, I just felt like a weird dude and I had to leave.
We went on a romantic getaway then the next day.
Yes, we did. That was nice.
I didn't see you in Cork, Tony, but then I had Killian. We were back to back, I tell you.
Back to back with this boy.
Yeah.
I was missing, I was feeling like, oh, they're gonna gang
well,
up on me.
I think this is the case of the internet. Look, it looks like me and Killian were going around the place having the time of our lives.
Oh, yeah.
But if you think about it, we had breakfast in Cork, in the morning, and then we left and was like, I'll see you in Kilkenny.
Sure, of course.
So then we didn't see each other until several hours later in Greig na Mana. Shout out to Greig na Mana.
Yeah.
And we went to the sauna there and it was splendid.
Oh, it's very good.
Can I ask, if you're at the Hotbox sauna, I love those boys. And they have women now as well.
Great.
That's very modern.
Okay, so if you're not, for people who aren't sauna people, the way a sauna works, you get in the hot thing for a while, then you do a cold thing.
Yes.
So sometimes it's a cold shower. They have a chlorine plunge pool and also a plunge into the river.
Yeah,
which was delicious.
And it's a cage.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was trying to describe to Anna, she was freaking out, but it's a cage. and you get in the cage, and then the river kind of buffets against you, and you kind of get pinned a little bit against one side of the cage.
But it's very nice.
But it's very nice.
But even though we're friends, right, did you feel, I think this is some kind of like masculinity problem, because I felt really like I cannot leave and do the cold thing until...
Yes.
What if I want to go like really soon? And Killian's like, no, I'm staying here. Don't be so ridiculous. Like, stay for more heat and pain. Whereas I was like, I'm too hot.
I felt, can I say, the wiver. I felt I was able to handle more heat and you were better at the cold. That's true. I felt, because I didn't feel that so much in the sauna.
For the pushing?
Cushion for the pushing and the river.
I felt like when we were in the sauna, I was like, this is grand. I'll be okay. I can. Like, you know, I can last it here. Mm. But when we were in the river, I was like, Shane does cold swimming quite a good bit. And he didn't flinch when he got in the water.
I loved it. But then there was three sets of couples and then one, like pairs, and then one person on their own. Mm. And when the person on their own went for the outside to the cold, everybody else then felt we were all allowed to talk. Because we obviously were in pairs and we all wanted to talk.
Yeah.
And then when she went out, everyone was like, pressure's off, now we can just get you can talk quietly, I think.
Well, this is exactly the sort of patter that I was jealous of and threatened by, and I hope you have a great rest of your lives together doing this podcast as a duo, where you go around and review different saunas and you have a great time, and you say, oh,
and you know what happened?
How great are you at heat? Well, you're great at cold. Tony. And what, I'm a piece of shit?
We can go to a sauna if you want.
Tony, okay. We don't think that about you.
They have one, it's in Meath, an hour away, another venue in... Belfield, I think it's called.
Okay.
Bective.
Okay. Bective. Can we actually like organize the date after this? Like,
yeah, I will organize that. My parents appeared on the scene.
Oh yeah? Yeah.
I've been telling Killian that when we used to drive to Wexford as kids, I took a video and I said, we used to drive down here before they had the motorways, the new roads, that you'd have to drive through various towns. And I was like, one of them was Greignamana. And I told him about this. And then I sent in a video to my family WhatsApp going, gorgeous in Greignamana. My mother rang me, she's like, we're in Greignamana. I was like, what are the chances? And then they pulled up and my mother did a drive-by. Well, I watched them drive to the wrong place first and I stood there beside my car looking at them driving to the wrong place. And then she did a drive-by. Her window was open as she passed. My dad was parking in front of me. And as she passed, she just came by, zooming by. And like, it was the most cliche mother thing. She's like, have you had your lunch? Like the first thing. That's what she asked out the window.
And then, mom.
And then they got out and then he came hobbling. Have you had lunch?
Yes, I had my bambwed earlier.
He came hobbling out and then asked, was his back sweaty? I was like, yes, your back is sweaty. I don't know why they were. Anyway, then she said, are you on your own? I was like, no, I told you. I was like, we would do the sauna. I was like, Killian's here, but he just left. She's like, oh, Killian's here, good boy. And me, Killian and I were discussing this. It was like, who's the good boy, me or like, Killian? Am I a good boy for having Killian with me?
Am I just a good boy in general?
Is Killian a good boy?
I think you're the good boy.
Who?
I think you're the good boy.
Me, Shane.
You, Shane, sorry. For you kind of, quelling her worries that you were traveling alone.
Yes, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Quashing.
I thought I thought she said, oh, Killian is here. And then thinking about Killian as a person as a whole and going, good boy.
Good boy, that.
That's a good boy.
That sounds less likely now. No, no shade.
No shade.
Well.
Anyway, we should go to sauna. I do actually love it, and I think it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. Mm. I don't.
But you were just saying you can't even go to the cinema. So when are we supposed to bring you to a sauna?
I can go during the day.
We're childless.
Okay, I can do loads during the day. We should hang out more during the day.
Yeah,
okay.
We should, and then also we could think that we could do like a team building.
That'd be a great idea.
Yeah, that's where we have to build a raft.
Yeah, no, well,
we have to build a raft
on our own.
Have to go across the ocean.
I was thinking we just go to the sauna and that's enough.
No team building. You advance on Russia like a team.
Okay.
No, but like that's the thing. You build a raft in the team building exercise, or you figure out how to get across the puddle with only straws or something. You got to build a bridge out of straws.
Giant skis that you all wear at the same time.
your whole family goes around on a tandem bike.
Yeah, and then one, you have to go and dress like, you have to go and dress like that, came out of nowhere. You go and look at a Lego statue and then you have to make the Lego statue at your table, but you can only go one at a time and only one of you can touch the Lego. And thus increasing the productivity of your company.
That's great.
Or whatever.
Or we could go to like a soft play area. Just kind of go down the slides and the ball pits.
They should have that for adults. Wouldn't that be class?
Oh no, could you imagine a few drinks in the bar, have to clean all the balls and everything.
Get tired so quickly. I remember all my memory of being in those ball pits and stuff like that is just being like this. Just so
steam
tired.
Pumping sweat.
Just like pumping sweat, just like
but you knew you had to get as many goes in of everything as possible.
We're gonna go.
like wet
then
socks.
There's a free fall. You can't put your hands to the side of your burn.
Yeah, lift your feet.
Lift your feet up.
Pegging it back to your mom, drinking
you went down,
liter
my knees
of Coke.
Went down backwards.
But you'd run back to your mom and give like a little update on what you're all doing. Yeah. They'd be like, yeah. You'd be like, we went down, and then who can well, Gary can go first, and then they'd be like, all right, we hate it here.
Yeah.
We don't want to be here at all. It's very warm.
And then
it's
you just hear like that slow kind of like someone gets a ball thrown in their eye, everything stops, and then just.
No, that sounds like a little rat. Sounds like a little sap.
I remember me and my mate were chaperoning like his much younger brother's birthday party in a soft play area, and all the kids were like around the same age, like maybe like 7 or whatever. And we went through the little ghost area, you know, with the, like the neon light.
Yes.
And someone had done a shit.
Oh my god.
So then we were kind of like went to one of the parents, and we were like, I don't know, like 12, like 13. We're like, someone said shit. Someone's after doing shit. So just want to let you know, like as the chaperone, someone's after doing shit. And then it turned out to actually be one of the older kids who was 9 who went there because the younger brother was like, can my brother come? He's 9. And, you know, he took a shit.
This place isn't scary enough.
I remember thinking like, oh, but that was the older brother. Shit. You know?
How did you...
You'd lose all cred.
How was it traced back to the shitter?
They just found out. Like all the kids came
DNA.
Back and then it was kind of like you shit your pants.
Horatio from CSI Miami came.
Yeah, yeah.
Looks like this ghost town just got a little stinky.
Ghosties, that's when you wipe your arse and there's nothing on it, isn't it? When you wipe your arse and you think you
ghost poo.
Ghost poo.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Anyway, great way to end this.
Well, you know,
here we
these
go.
Are the facts of life.
These are the facts of life.
Yeah.
And do you know what else is a fact of life?
What?
We will be doing a really, really good show tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
It's
night.
Called The Bureau de Change.
The Bureau
song
de Change
contest.
Song contest.
We will be performing music as certain countries, and there are still some tickets left. Maybe there are. They might be sold out.
Might be sold out at this stage.
Give it a look and see if there are.
Check it.
And also, there is a way of listening to this podcast more than the amount that you listen to it at the moment.
Yes.
If you are not someone who has done this thing. Basically, you go to Headstuff Plus, you sign up, you become a subscriber, you get an extra podcast every week. We're about to do the next podcast, and we have got some really fun interactions with audience people, and just support the podcast. Fucking, if you like it, do. And also, don't like it.
This is a really weird one. Are you okay?
It started off really professional.
Just
there.
Fuck
actually,
off.
Do you know what?
Just,
no, I don't know.
Just,
like,
I know that Luke is listening.
Okay.
I know that Luke and Netanyahu
well,
are listening.
You're supposed to be listening, Luke.
And I know, I can sense it. So just, Netanyahu, Luke, this isn't for you.
Listen,
so you
for cheaper than a pint, you can listen to a podcast as long, and some say even better, where we actually respond to listener mail and
do you think that my thing was so bad that they're not going to do it now?
I just wanted to let them know they have to pay something for it.
Yeah, you have to pay, and also I talk normal on that one.
Yeah.
Mm.
I talk normal. Well, I
and
talk
less
normal.
Threatening.
Much less threatening.
Yeah, well, you get some really good insights into what it's like as a, you know, for a ranger, as someone who works with animals every day. You get some really good insights. I really deep dive onto that.
Yeah, it's been great.
It's worth it.
Yeah, 100%.
If you're listening to this today on Thursday, me and Killian are going to be there in Galway on Thursday.
Galway.
And then I'm going to meet Castlebar on Saturday. Castlebar.
Galway.
I'm taking a break from touring, but I'll be back in Vicar Street on the 14th of June, and Belfast, actually, on the 6th of June, and Galway, sorry, on the 21st of June.
Jesus, June.
And then London in July. But look, thanks very much. I love you so much. Bye.
We love
bye,
you.
Bye. Thank
nice
you.
To be back with you guys. Bye-bye.
Bitter, attractive, very angry.
Hot and loud.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh, my. Is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.